this is like his and hers, or?
Friends.
Huh?
Friends.
Oh, okay. Okay, so here we have the Panchanganyaya, as we were discussing yesterday. So this is Prabhupada mentions, and he's quoting also from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that unless something is presented according to Panchanganyaya, it's not actually very scientifically presented. So in the Vaishnava community, then this is the method that's used, right? If we're successful in our preaching, we're probably doing it anyway, but maybe not so with understanding. It's not so scientific. Does that make sense? Just like in the West, they'll actually be following Varnashram, but not very scientifically. So because it's not scientific, they're not getting the full benefit, right? Does that make sense? It means you can't get away from it. It's a social system. So this is the system of presenting things, right? Does that make sense? So this is Krishna's system. So what we'll do is we'll discuss this a little bit, then we'll go on to the... Do you have the 18th chapter here? We'll go on, and then what will happen is then Maharaj was expecting there to be some presentation by Shantiji and whoever he likes, where it will be, meaning that I will discuss this now, what is this Panchanganyaya? Then afterwards, then what will be done is this will be taken, and you take and analyze purports. Better to take some shorter purports. And then you show how all these 5 points are there in the purports. Because they're there, it's just a matter of recognizing. Once you see this, and you look at the purports, you see all the purports are done like this. But it's one of those things that is just so nicely, and they're so perfect, you never notice it. But it's actually the system that how they're being done. So as we see here, first one, we mentioned yesterday. So over here, you see, the first one is your thesis, right? And then your fifth one is your correct conclusion. So it's based on the thesis, but now you're bringing it basically how you're going to apply it, how you're going to understand it. Does that make sense? So there's a difference there. So first thing, you make your statement of purpose. And that should be as succinct as possible, so it's clear and they can grasp it. Right? Does that make sense? That must be the first thing that's there. It just must be very clear, and it shouldn't be these big, long, lengthy explanations. No. That's later. That's three. Right? The difficulty is most persons start off with three. Right? They don't start off with one. You know, they just give this and that and so many things. In fact, those are only necessary to explain what you want to say. So the first thing you're doing is making basically as like a one sentence, as short as possible, you're establishing what it is you want to say, what's the point you want to make. Okay, is that clear? Yes? No? Okay, second point, hetu. Then is your reasons behind your thesis, right? Those are your reasons. Why? Supporting your thesis. At the same time, this will bring up the, you know, one sentence sutra of doubt. Does that make sense? Means, in other words, here, the pratigya of the doubt. Does that make sense? Like I say something. You know, Krishna is blue. Okay. And, okay, so that's your thesis. Then Krishna is blue because it's a great color. Right? So that's my reason. Then you have a doubt. Well, Krishna's not blue because it's a great color. You know? You understand what I'm saying? It means, in other words, someone has to start the conversation. So that's the pratigya. The doubt can only come up after it. Does that make sense? So when I make my statement and I give my reasons, then I say Krishna's blue, there's no argument. But if I say my reasons, that's where there's an argument, right? So it's like Prabhupada says, it's a fool you can't tell until he opens his mouth. Right? So it's when you open your mouth, that's when you can have a doubt. Does this make some sense? What's going on here? All right. So, first is the thesis, then is the reason. That will bring up the doubt, which is the pratigya of means of the antithesis. That's going to be the pratigya, right? Then, when you go to the third one, Uttaharana, then you will give your like evidence. You'll give your analogies, you'll expand it, you'll fill it out. But that's when now the doubt then becomes now its discussion. Right? So the third part is the discussion between the two parties. Right? Does that make sense? You give your examples, they are giving their reasons and their examples like this. And you keep going until you have cleared their doubt. Right? Does that make some sense? Yes? Okay. Then in the fourth one, then synthesis means you're going to Uttarapaksha means you have again established your point. Now you're talking again because the other person has been silenced. Right? And there you're bringing together and showing their point, how it matches with yours. Right? It may be a misunderstanding, you're saying the same thing. So it was just semantics, or it could be it's the same thing because they looked at it from a different perspective, it looked different. Or it couldn't be their complete misunderstanding, misrepresenting, whatever. That's been cleared and now you bring it out. What is the real understanding? Does that make some sense? Then, the fifth one, then you give the support from other shastras that connects to other scriptures. You're giving the conclusion, you know, of its application. You know, so that now the person has something solid to walk away with. Does this make sense?
Here he comes to save the day. He's a mighty monster.
That's okay, but where are the ears? You don't have your Mickey Mouse ears on.
Well, by listening to you, they'll get bigger.
Okay. So you say by hearing us, then the Punar Musika Baba happens. Okay, does this make some sense? I mean, what I was saying. Yes, he just came in and I gave it. That was the conclusion, and so now everybody understands perfectly what was being said. Okay, so here, we'll read here Prabhupada's purport. You're going to give Maharaj some of these honorable papers. Yeah. So, every theme must necessarily be explained with reference to pratigya, or a solemn declaration of the purpose of the treatise. Right? Means everything you're going to talk about is in that point. If it's a book, it's the opening statement. Atato Brahma Jigyasa, which he gives it, that's the opening statement. Right? That the whole rest of the book is based on that. So you, when you're making a thesis, everything you say must be based on that. If you've ever noticed, sometimes you make a statement, but because it wasn't so scientific, it didn't exactly say what you wanted, but it had some feeling in it, and you could relate your feelings or mood through that point. But it actually, in words, logically, didn't say what you wanted to say. Then the other party is harassing you for saying what you said. No, but you said this. But I didn't mean that. I meant, you understand, that's because there was no pratigya. You come out and just immediately see, this is what it is. Okay, I don't like this decision, you know, that the board has made regarding this. I think it should be this. It's very clear now what you're saying. And now, the second point is my reasons, right? The solemn declaration given in the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra is the Tato Brahma Jigyasa, which indicates that the book was written with the solemn declaration to inquire about the absolute truth. Similarly, reasons must be expressed. Hetu, now you give your reasons. Okay? But what happens is because it's all a mood to Bob, it's coming from the mind, we just try to like deal with elements in the field and we're mysteriously supposed to be able to put it all together. Right? But it doesn't work like that. means this is an intellectual presentation. This is not necessarily the method that you will use when someone's crying and upset and disturbed. You won't come in and use this, right? That's not the thing. You first come in and just kind of like move, and then use this later, right? So similarly, okay, examples must be given in terms of various facts, udaharana, and the theme must gradually be brought nearer for understanding, right? So that means you must bring it where it applies to the person. In other words, it goes from the intelligence, it goes to the mind. Because until the mind accepts it, the person's not convinced, right? The mind will only accept it when you've made it practical for the person. Right? Unless you point out and make it practical why, then they take it. And finally, it must be supported by authoritative quotations from the Vedic Shastras. Then you're giving, not only is it here, it's being shown in all these other places. All right. So this is just the straight R presentation. Right? Does that make sense? So you're making a presentation, it follows these five. Now in this, then we have this others, because this is just Panchanga Nyaya. But because Panchanga Nyaya is the method of presentation, you also have to include the other person. Right? If you're just making a presentation, you use these five just simply like that. You make your statement, you give your reasons, you give your examples like that, you know, the various facts, then you try to bring it so it's practical for the other person, then you give quotations from the scriptures. Okay, does that make sense? But now, if you add in the other person, that they're not necessarily understanding this, or you want to bring out for the benefit of the audience, then after you've made your statement like that, you give your reasons, then you start to say the doubt, right? Some may say this, right? I know some are thinking this. I said that this is wrong because this should be like this, but I know some are thinking that this is, you know, like this. No one's going to complain. And when you present that, it should be presented very nicely. That's the point, is that many times they want to avoid the other person's point of view. But actually, if you present it very clearly, and even better than they present it, then they can't say you didn't understand. Then after doing that, then you take it apart. If you can present it better than them, means you can take it apart. You can't present what they say, you can't take it apart. Right? Someone who can construct something can deconstruct it. Does that make sense? So this is very important. So then, in doing it, when you're giving your various facts, you're giving your examples, that's when you then deconstruct their argument. But your argument at that time is based on breaking theirs down, and at the same time, establishing yours according to the fact. Does this make some sense? Right. Then after that, then you bring it together. Right? And then you give the correct conclusion. And that will be backed by scriptures. Does that make sense? Is this clear now? If you do it on an even smaller circle, then you can say it's what you're going to do is you're going to make your presentation, they're going to give a doubt, and then they're going to give their philosophy. Then in Uttarapaksha, you're going to give your philosophy again. In other words, you spoke, then they speak, after they've spoken, then what you give, that itself then brings it together, and then you give the conclusion. Understand? So you have these three kind of elements that you can take out of this same aspect. One is simply you're making a presentation, there is no argument. Right? So you want to make the statement, it's very clear, they can grasp it, you expand it, so that it also is intellectually graspable. Then the third level, you start to go into the mind. You give the examples, you give things to try to make it important for the person. Then having done that, then you bring it together that, okay, now all this is there, this is the purpose. In other words, your fourth one will give your purpose. Right? Because in purpose, there is no difference. Right? If there's a difference in something, it's only because it hasn't been brought back to the purpose. But first, to do that, you must clear the doubts, and you must make it understandable what are the details that you're dealing with? The purpose I'm doing this, I'm working on this principle, but I'm using this detail. You've used this detail. You think it's something different. But actually, it's the same thing. Right? Because this is the purpose. So therefore, when you're doing this activity, therefore, this is the reason. This makes some sense. Getting somewhere? Okay.
How does the principles of Panchandra meant to work in the debates with opponent whose arguments should be cut down?
How does it work with
opponent means the person whose arguments should be cut down?
How does it work with it? With people whose arguments should be cut down.
Means like, let's say, my value or something.
Means it's the same thing. You make your point, then they'll make their point. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you give your examples and facts and that to clear their doubt. But it keeps going back and forth here. Means in the third stage, that's where the most of your discussion will basically be happening. Because the first stage, you make your statement, you give your reasons. You're speaking when you give your synthesis and your conclusion. So basically discussion is in the third part. Right? They will bring it up in the second, but no, I have a doubt. You know, and it's this. But their reasons for it and everything will come in the third one. And in there, you've already given your reasons, now you'll clear their doubt.
And also in the Upanayana, there may be some discussion.
Yeah, you're bringing it closer to this person. Yeah, yeah. So they still have some residual doubts.
Yeah, but I think I would say that the fourth one is that they are
accepting. But now it's just a matter to how to apply it. Okay, so that's there, but how would I apply it? You know, like that, yeah. But in the second and third, that's open for they just don't like what you said.
Because in four you have this, as he's put it here, synthesis.
So that does mean that there's, in the discussion, the one who's giving the pratigya, he may make a presentation in, let's say, in very strong terms, which may be very uncompromising, and the other person is, all right, so he gives some doubts, some of which are unreasonable and need to be just cleared, but then some points he may have said that are reasonable, and so also for the sake of relationship, but also for fuller understanding, then the principal speaker may then say, well, yes, that's actually also true, what you have said, that it comes out in the synthesis. You know, they kind of come closer together.
Very important point, because here is what Maharaj has brought out, is besides the facts being correct, as we were discussing before, because these chapters are all on, there's facts, and then there's the reality of relationships and all that, is that you've made a point, but let's say, because it's a general audience, you've made a strong statement. And basically for most people in the audience it goes, but there are some people that have quite a different perspective. So what you've said is not the problem, but it's kind of how you've said it. So then they think it's, oh, you're being rough, or you're being inconsiderate, or you're being insensitive. So then in the fourth part, the Upanaya, then you have to bring out that sensitivity and that and establish the relationship. Like that, very important. Or you're doing one thing, let's say you don't know the person, so you say something that, you know, is there. You know, it's just like you make some comment. But it's a point that could be an issue. So you don't mean it to be an issue. You're not making that point, but you just brought out one side of it. But because it's an issue for the other person, therefore, then they bring up their doubts, which may be, like you said, totally unreasonable, but you've spoken about it maybe not at the right angle or in it to them. Because the point is when you speak, you're not just speaking to the walls. You're speaking to the person, to get them to understand. So it should be according to them, right? Actually, if you look in this, this would be, the teacher would be the masculine principle, the student would be the feminine principle. So the rule is that the masculine principle must be sensitive to the mentality of the feminine principle in making any kind of presentation or interaction. It's just the way it is. Right? Because if you do that, then the feminine principle becomes inspired. The teacher says something that the students appreciate, then they become inspired and then they start to interact. That's what you want. Right? But it comes from there first. So if there has been, in making your statement or your reasons, there has been any misjudgment of the audience or like that, then you can, then you have in your third and fourth chance to clear that.
This is also why it's actually said that,
you know, there's this prasthantraya, three divisions of Vedic literature. So Shruti speaks in terms of law. This is the way it is. And a person hearing that, you know, because it's presented as law, may not understand it, you know, or may understand it in a wrong way, or may just have, you know, there's some inward emotional rebellion. So the thing that was said is not necessarily something, if he understood it better, that he would reject, but it's just his initial response. You know, he may bring up doubts and negative things just because he doesn't like this, it's like this presentation. So therefore, besides Shruti, you've got Smriti. Jiva Goswami says Smriti speaks like a friend. And Smriti, you know, starts to be more accommodating and give reasons, and, you know, and then the person comes closer. And then there's Kavya, which Jiva Goswami says speaks like a lover. You know, when the relationship becomes very solid, then there can actually be a real positive exchange between the two. So, you know, there's like a very deep level of agreement. So it's actually possible in this Panchanga Nyaya to actually go through those three stages.
Yes, in other words, these five here, this is a principle. And you'll find it applying in so many aspects, right? Because here, according to Shastras and the law, and that there's authority, then there's friendship, then there's intimacy, like that. So we're also, and then I mentioned according to masculine and feminine, you also have according to intelligence and mind, because the pratigya is intelligence. Your reasons are intelligence. But then your later stages, that brings in the mind, because that's what you, because for someone to accept it, their mind has to accept it. Does this make some sense? So that's where the friendship comes in, the intimacy comes in, because then you're dealing with the mind. So it has to be tailored to who it's being spoken to. Like you would see so many times, Prabhupada is so expert that, like, you have Prabhupada speaks out. Prabhupada's very strong in his point, you know. But at the same time, as he says examples in that, they get across to the person. Right? Like that. It always works. It doesn't matter. You always see that in these, like, Prabhupada speaks out. He gives a strong statement. Somebody gives a doubt. Prabhupada starts talking, and that's it. You don't hear anything more from the other person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. But, you know, but in this, you know, after that, after Prabhupada's given his reasons, it's, what is this? What is this piece of paper?
It's a piece of paper.
So then, does that make some sense? So Prabhupada's able, because he's able to touch the other person's heart. So therefore, that's why they stop arguing. Because we'll make the point and they just keep on the point. I can just say, yes, I just heard a 15-minute argument between two persons. One was making the statement that health food, you know, it's made for health. It's not made for taste. Right? You know, things like brewer's yeast or spirulina or, you know, whey powder and all these other supplements. Basically speaking, on a, you know, level of 1 to 10 for taste, you know, they're down in the, you know, you might have to use higher math to you bring in the negative numbers, right? So, but the thing is someone who values health, they appreciate the effect of it. So in one sense, they like the taste. It doesn't have a good taste, but because the body likes it and assimilates it and it craves it, therefore, it's something you appreciate. Like the cows eat grass, they think it's great. But if you give the cows sweets, you'll hear moo and this, and they'll go for that over the grass any day. But because the grass is what is their food, then they appreciate it. Does that make some sense? So because the one point was saying, so therefore if it came between something that was healthy and something that tasted good, you would naturally take the one that tasted good. And the other person was saying, no, I would take the healthy one. But because both of them were just stubborn and they were just going on their pratigya and their hetus, there was no question of anything simply because of ego. Neither would back down. 15, 20 minutes, I'm not joking, just went on. No, but you'd do this. No, I wouldn't. I'd take the other. No, but you would take the... That was all. It was just, all it was is that. There was no question of trying to... The other person could have said, but I actually... Because the point is it's taste. I like the taste of it. For me, it's like it. So now, okay, I could say it's not like what's called tasty, but I like, appreciate the taste. So therefore, I like the taste. That's what it is. So your statement's actually right. I would take the thing that tastes good. But to me, the healthy thing tastes good. But no, because that one said, taste means the healthy one's not tasty, therefore, but they're making the point is, you'll eat what you think is tasty. That's actually the point. So the first one doesn't know that that's the point. The second one doesn't either. So because there's no proper pratigya, then there's a fight. Does that make sense? But if you actually understand the point, no, what you're saying is correct. Like I was just saying, is that there may be something right in what the other person is saying, but then you turn it around. Then that's synthesis. What you're saying is correct. I will choose what is the better taste, right? But to me, the better taste is the healthy thing. You know? So that's synthesis. So it's actually there's some give and take. You don't lose your stand, you don't lose your pratigya. But maybe your angle of presentation you have to drop. Your particular detail that you've used, or your particular example the person didn't like. Like that. So that you change, that you acquiesce to. And then it brings it around because it has to fit the other person. And then after the argument, later, I was wondering what happened. Then the second person said, the only reason I kept at it was that the other person had kept at it. They were dogmatic on their point, so they were also. It was just ego. So it's just like 15, 20 minutes were absolutely just wasted.
You hear a tape, this recording, there's many recordings of Srila Prabhupada
at Juhu having these morning walk discussions with this one, Chattubhai Patel. And there's one real hot one in which Prabhupada because Chattubhai Patel, he was a kind of speculative devotee / Hindu, you know. In other words, his heart was with Krishna, but you know, he'd become a little upset if he'd hear, you know, criticism of certain persons whom Prabhupada would consider to be not just sentimental, but even Mayavadis or whatever. Anyway, so one morning Prabhupada was explaining how somehow the topic got over to, you know, the degradation of the West. And then Prabhupada suddenly made this point, but the hippie movement, the Westerners actually learned from the Indians, meaning these kind of sadhus who smoke hashish and ganja and so on. And because this rubbed Chattopadhyay Patel's ego in the wrong way, he got very disturbed, but his sangsaya, his doubt, or his counter-argument, his counter-thesis, was off the point. Because he got so agitated, then he somehow understood that what Prabhupada was saying was that LSD had been invented in India. When actually, of course, LSD had been discovered in Switzerland in 1943 by some chemist. So you hear on the tape him getting, he said, "I am a first-class opponent of nonsense, and this is a nonsense statement." And Prabhupada on the other side didn't, you know, he, let's put it this way, he didn't acknowledge that that was the issue. Prabhupada just kept on saying, no, for centuries and centuries in this country, you've had long-haired, bearded people smoking chillums and speaking nonsense, you know, love and peace philosophy. And this is where the hippie movement started. And then finally, this Chatubhai Patel, just you hear on the tape, he just goes storming off, you know, he just, I've heard enough of this, and he just marches off. But then the next day, you know, he'll be back, and they would have a more friendly talk. So that's how sometimes these things go. Anyway.
You're holding your point, because the other one, it's also, you see, is that, depending on it, he'll bring it together later, but maybe not in the same city.
Yeah.
Is that, you have that one, that famous one also, where the devotee would came to Prabhupada. Their point was, they were trying to bring up, if the devotees are attacked by the karmis, what are you supposed to do? Are we supposed to be just peace and love? Are we supposed to fight back? Or this or that. And the devotee keeps trying to bring up the topic, you know, but if we're attacked or someone's this, then Prabhupada says, no, you're peaceful, you're tolerant and all that. No, but Prabhupada, they're doing that. He Prabhupada always cut him off. Oh, but not, we're tolerant with that, we're sadhus. So you keep doing this for a long time till the devotee was quite frustrated. And then finally, then Prabhupada allowed him to make the full statement. But Prabhupada, if they come and attack and beat the devotees, and then Prabhupada just cuts in, then you burn like fire. You know, so it's like, Prabhupada is making the point that our mood is we're humble, we're tolerant, and this and that. But if they step over the line and actually harm devotees, then we're very strong. But otherwise, a devotee would have missed the point, and just at anything, any little thing that seemed like an aggression to devotees, immediately there'd be a fight. So Prabhupada is trying to point out the tolerance, but at the same time, then he brings in and brings that synthesis and conclusion.
So then, we
were going to give an example of reading through this one. Uh-huh. And then after that, then I had mentioned to Shantiji about how he is going to be checking some purports. He was quite perplexed when he heard about it. But I'm sure he'll get over it. But, these things happen. You know.
Yeah, so in other words, the second piece of paper, this is
the application
example.
In terms of what we've just been studying in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. So this is taking like a whole, chapter, like that, and taking one angle. So here, your Pratigya, the age of Kali is the cause of suffering of cow Bhumi and bull Dharma. So this is the point being made, like that. But that, in other words, you could say, the age of Kali is the cause of suffering of the cow and the bull. Okay, but it doesn't, because it's so succinct, it exactly says what you want, but it doesn't really have anything that the opponent can sink their teeth into. You know what I'm saying? There's something there, but they can't get it. Does that make sense? That's why then in the second one, that's where you give your reasons, then doubts can arise. Then, according to earth, her misery is caused by Krishna's absence. And the bull states that he is bewildered, gives various possible reasons for his suffering, and refrains from ascertaining its cause. Right? Because we're saying here that Kali is the cause, and they're kind of like bewildered because he's beating their legs, he's harassing, but actually there seems to be something else going on. Right? That is, Krishna's going, or some other. Then the antithesis, one who thinks that the perpetrator of irreligious acts is the cause of his suffering, is just as ignorant as the miscreant is. So in other words, now the opposite, they have a doubt, but now they fully stated it, that no, it's not Kali. It's that you think it's the perpetrator, because Kali here is just the perpetrator. It could have been anybody. It just happened to be Kali. It could have been someone else beating the legs of the cow and the bull. You know what I'm saying? Here it happens to be Kali. Right? Then the devotees tolerate all kinds of misery concerning them to be God sent.
So then that brings together is that Kali is there, that's that, but there's other reasons behind it. Then the conclusion. The only conclusion is the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. The sufferings of the representative of religion and the representative of the earth, as present before Maharaj Parikit, were planned to prove that Maharaj Parikit was the ideal executive head because he knew well how to give protection to the cows and the Brahmins, religious principles, the two pillars of spiritual advancement. Does it make sense? So now you've brought it in, is that this is there, and that he's able to protect, so he's able to protect from Kali like that. So in one sense, you've supported this, that is, because of Kali is there, because of that, then Krishna's not present, because of that, then all these religious activities go on, and that this is your angle. You could take another particular saying that only Krishna makes everybody happy, right? That could also be taken from this chapter, right? There's so many points you could bring out. But in any case, you're going to have it, and you're going to have... So here, the antithesis is not a bad point. It's actually a correct point. But just to say that Kali is the suffering, it's not. Right? Because in Kali Yuga, then Krishna's not present. Because in Kali Yuga, then all these other things are going on. They're not following Krishna's direction. Therefore, it's a problem. So then the conclusion is that the king, he's the one that's going to protect everybody, because that means the cow and the Brahmins and the cows. Are we getting anywhere here? Or we're confusing the issue?
So, to put it succinctly,
what we'd like to ask again, our dear Shanti Parayan, to kind of organize, and you could actually do this with a very small group, you know, even one other person. But if there's others who'd like to get involved, they could be involved. But because this is basically a discussion that could just take place between two persons. But, and you know, if you find this, you know, your first exposure to this material a bit challenging, then you can just use this as your script, more or less, as the basis of the script. You can use this. As Maharaj said, there's other examples from these two chapters, 16 and 17, that could be selected. But here we've made it real easy by giving this. And this is really a very significant discussion. And it really does have, at the middle point, a kind of, you know, where the bull does not want to say, and, you know, it actually, sort of things are just hanging in the air, and you can wonder, you know, what does this mean? And then finally it's brought to a conclusion. So, actually, the assignment is very simple. You know, it's just that it's something like, you know, the first time you try to learn to use a computer, you know, because it's new and because the manual is in this jargon that you're not familiar with, you can get a little freaked out, a little nervous, and you press the wrong button, and the thing that you hoped would happen doesn't happen, and then you can go, oh, God. But once you learn the system, it becomes very easy. So this is what we're asking, that you and at least one other person could, if you would just go through this, have a discussion following this fivefold Panchanga Nyaya. The reason that we're asking you to do this is to help, because this is the sort of, maybe you recall, I've forgotten, I know this, but I've just slipped my mind. There's this technical term for logic that is meant for others. It's a technical term. There's logic meant for yourself, and there's logic meant for others. And this Panchaka Nyaya is actually logic that's meant for the instruction of others. That's why it goes through these five stages, because logic meant for yourself could go through less, you know, as little as 3 stages. And some logicians actually have 10 stages because they really want their audience to understand. But anyway, what we're trying to do here is to just help our devotees understand this system of logic so that they may see how it is incorporated in Srila Prabhupada's books, that, you know, so many, many, many of Srila Prabhupada's purports actually follow these steps. And if we can catch it, then it will really be a step forward in our ability to appreciate, understand and more fully appreciate Srila Prabhupada's purports. That's what we're hoping to get out of this, you see. So, you know, the only thing that may seem daunting about this is just the unfamiliarity of it. But if we can help you, maybe after, you know, you and I could talk about it later, if we can just get over that, then it's a very, very simple assignment because it's all scripted. You know, you don't have to sit down and think of, think of what to present. You can just follow this at least as a skeletal presentation. Fill it out, of course, because some time should be spent on it. But, well, you know, we're satisfied if a presentation is 10 minutes, you know. If it goes longer, if you really get into it, that's better. But I think, you know, we've, in our discussions, we've said 10 minutes is like a minimal, you know. I mean, you could easily cover this in 10 minutes.
Because the whole idea is we're just trying to introduce this.
Yeah.
Here. We're introducing here because it is as part of the thing. Because the whole idea is that the shastras, we're trying to develop the shastra chakras, seeing through the eyes of scripture.
And we'd like to, you know, say if it is just you and one other who are actively participating in this, we would like to request the others to observe this and hear this discussion closely and try to come up with some questions at the end. I mean, at least questions along the line of, you know, how does this work? Because that's the whole point of it, to help the student body as a group get a deeper appreciation of this. So, you know, you should be prepared at the end to, you know, you have to know this well enough in order to be able to explain it to others, you know, so that they can apply it then in their reading. That's the thing. So
the exercise sounds like a fish bowl. It's two fish forming presentation. Other people standing around watching.
Yeah.
Observing.
Yeah, and there doesn't have to be a lot, you know, very much improvisation in this. You know, you can pretty much, according to this, if you want to, write out a script as you've done before. But, you know, the idea is to try to have a serious discussion, and you get that serious discussion. You know, if you take this particular section of the Bhagavatam, the discussion is laid out quite seriously, quite in depth. You know, and then the thing is to go through it with the purpose of bringing out these 5 stages of development. And then our hopes is that other devotees will, you know, show interest in these 5 stages and try to understand them so that they'll be able to, in their reading, analyze Prabhupada's purports accordingly. Because you can really do this. You do really see, once you pick this up, how Prabhupada does so very often. I'm in unless he's making a very, just a, you know, a clarifying comment on a word. But if he's actually, you know, giving what we understand to be a Bhaktivedanta purport with logic, then he will logic, explanation, removing doubts, then he will inevitably follow this system. So it's good to understand the construct, you know.
I would suggest on this, in your study of it, is one is take the conversation that's there, that's going on, and look at that, and you could probably take the conversation, just the verses themselves, and start to put them into these categories.
Yeah.
Because it is a presentation by Sukadeva Goswami, or Sutta Goswami here, you know, so it is, he's already using it. And then the points that are making here, you know, this thing about, there were purports on Krishna going, what she was saying, and about the tolerating, and those few purports go into those particular purports and look at them according to this five. And I would say between those two, you know, then it would be very easy to bring out, as Maharaj said, this already established, you know, script that you could then bring to light about how each of these five are working.
Yeah.
So that would give you something to, you know, latch on.
Bring to light and bring to life.
The life, yeah.
Life is very important.
Yeah.
Because life means you've understood it, you know, so you can get into it. You know, you can get into the two, or the at least two who are involved, you know, can put some energy into their back and forth discussion. That's what we'd like to see, and I hope that will encourage realization in the audience.
When would you like to see it?
Well, today's Tuesday. Tomorrow we don't have a class. It would be nice if you could do it on Thursday or Friday. If you feel you need more time,
yeah,
we could take it over till Monday.
We can do the 18th chapter. And then
yeah, because our material is ready. Chapter 18 and 19, we can go right into. It's no problem for us. But, you know, we don't, you know, it's nicer to be able to refer back to the chapters we've just done sooner than later. Because, you know, you're in the middle of, because, you know, chapter 18 in particular is quite involved. It's the study guide is quite lengthy, it's quite a lot of detail. And so everyone's mind is going to, you know, be more gravitating to that. And then, you know, if in the middle of that, then we have this discussion, you know, it might splay some devotees' minds. Oh, you know, going back to those chapters. So anyway, but we want to be fair to you. So if you could get it together in 1 or 2 days and have it presentable on Friday, that would be nice. Or if you feel you need till Monday, okay. And we'll
find amongst the students here somebody who was a little bit familiar with it and wants to volunteer, then that would shortcut the...
Yeah.
So, is there anybody here? So you can see me afterwards.
Again, this is, you know, it's just like the first time you see it, as I said, a computer manual. That's the only reason why it looks difficult. Otherwise, this is very natural. This is very universal. I mean, in like Marge has once said, anything that's presented in five can be reduced to three. So already in the West, Subhekshana has used this term syllogistic. There is the Aristotelian, it's classical argumentative form of formal debate called a syllogism, and it's in three parts, you see. But in the course of those three, these five will come out, you see.
Like you said, people have In other words, you have a thesis, you have an antithesis, and you have a synthesis.
Yeah. Right? That's the thing. So now, the thesis carries reason. The antithesis has a doubt. Right? Because it has to be based on something to expand it. And your synthesis should have some kind of practical application or correction. So actually, your 1, 3, and 4, you could say, are the 3. You know what I'm saying? And so 2 is part of 1, and 5 is part of 4. Like that.
So this is something that people do every day, you know, when they have discussions. I mean, they do it anyway.
Yeah, if it's successful, they're using this. If it's not successful, they're not using it. Yeah. That's why it doesn't get it.
It's really something like, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of Varnashram. That Varnashram is there everywhere. The problem is that it's not in its pure scientific form. That's all. But it's there. And if you could just clean it up and, you know, identify the real aspects of it and have those aspects work scientifically as they're supposed to, then you'd have worldwide Varnashram Dharma. Yeah. You know?
The example of that it's there but it's not there is like the government recognizes their business is to, how you say, keep the people engaged. Right? Because if they're not engaged, there's trouble. But because the economic system that they've accepted, it creates unemployment by necessity. Those people who are unemployed, they're the ones that make the trouble. So then they've decided to bring out sports and television and project that very much. So a lot of emphasis goes into that because that keeps the people busy. It keeps them off the street. Because before that wasn't, it was there, but it wasn't like so prominent. So this is their solution to how to keep the people. The Varnashram is the king has to keep the people busy, but he keeps them busy in God consciousness and performance of their duties, like that. So it's the same thing that they're trying to do, but because it's not scientific, they come up with a very unique application that also doesn't work. You know, does that make some sense?
Yeah, contributes. Furthering of Kali Yuga.
Yeah, like that. So,
like they had, I mean, this is actually a fact that in the 1960s in America there was an outburst of racial trouble between the blacks and the whites, and in a number of major cities there were riots in Watts and where he grew up, and I don't know if you were Los Angeles at the time of Watts or in Oregon, but anyway, you're on the West Coast. And where I lived in Detroit, there was also a riot, and there was riots in New York and other. So it's been pretty much proven that the response of the U.S. government, of particularly the CIA, which has international connections, was in the wake of all that, was to make drugs like heroin very much more available on the streets and the ghettos, so that these, you know, young, tough black guys who don't have jobs, who don't have anything to do, then rather than throwing Molotov cocktails, turning cars over, they just, you know, inject heroin and, you know, lay in an alley in a stupor, and this way not make any trouble, you know. Not a very progressive, socially progressive program. And it's said that the father, the earlier President Bush, the father of the present George W. Bush, was the mastermind behind this program. So
it's interesting because heroin and all those things were around since, you know, a century before.
Drugs were always there, people were taking, but it was always so on the side that it didn't even know
always
that.
Very hidden and very, very harsh penalties if you were caught. But then somehow or other, suddenly in the 70s, it just became widely available and police were looking the other way. And the whole reason was just to, you know, just dull the brains of people who might otherwise be making trouble. So anyway, that's just... Just
so
kind
trying
of,
to create a peaceful atmosphere.
Yeah.
And they have unique, you know, very strange ways to do it. So that's the point, is that because it's unscientific, therefore it makes trouble. But still, the principles, the government is trying to create a safe environment. You know, the Vedic would be safe for God consciousness and everything else. Well, the modern is simply just economic development. You know, it means... If there's a riot, you lose so much that your, you know, economics, you know, become disturbed. So if people are quiet, then your economics goes on. But they don't think about God consciousness or that.
So my suggestion is, you look at this today. Tomorrow's a free day. If you, you can come and see me, you know, we have all day. I mean, I'm busy, but I'll give you all the time you need tomorrow. You know, if discussion is required, so that we can clear out any confusion that you might have about this. And then you just, hopefully tomorrow you can give me, you'll be able to give me a day where you think you can do this. And then when we meet again on Thursday, we can say it will be on such and such day, and then we'll do what we need to do.
Also say just for practice, because this is very big and like you said, it's very new, and this is also covering the, so many chapters, is try looking at some short purports, you know, half page purports, and just look at it and you start to see the patterns. And after looking at a few, it'll be clear to you what are the various ways Prabhupada does these presentations, because he does it so pleasantly and sweetly. He uses the Puranic or even the Kavya way of presentation. So then it's, you know, now and again he'll use that Shruti, you know, yeah, just the law. But generally it's sweet, so it's so sweet you don't notice it. But if you look at it with that vision, you'll see it's everywhere, and then it'll become very clear and it'll be very easy. You know, and I think, you know,
this is in every purport that's a little bit elaborate.
Yeah,
some,
yeah,
just repeat what it says in
there. Sometimes, but even there you can look at that, because it's only like if he says Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami is quoting here from Srimad Bhagavatam, this, that, or, you know, or yeah, this word means, you know, they, like what I was saying, is sometimes a comment. But if he's presenting a point, then you'll see always uses this. Like that.
Yeah, it's particularly the point of the purport is to remove objections or doubts.
Doubt, yeah.
Then this will be followed.
Establish activity.
You know.
You'll see it. It just follows that pattern.
Sometimes Prabhupada, you know, in a purport, not only just to say this word means this, but he'll devote even a lengthy purport, but it will just be glorification of Krishna. So that's also not an argumentation. It's just, it's glorification. So that's kavya. That's then speaking intimately like a lover to the beloved, and, you know, there's no friction in that type of discussion. It's just sweet.
Also, you might be always just watch that in case it's sometimes it's...
Many, I've seen it's just so clearly defined, broken down exactly like this, one after another. Sometimes, because you, the point that you're making is an example of that, it needs some explanation. So then sometimes you'll see the same thing in a smaller circle will happen. That they'll make the point and give reasons behind that. You know? And but that then brings it into the bigger that you're trying to establish this, you know?
Like,
yeah, so sometimes you might find that the thing's repeated, or he may again go back to his reason, or again, but you'll generally see if you see, and that will be in your synthesis, that you'll naturally do that. You'll go back to your reasons, but then you're adjusting them to the other party. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just one last, it's after 9, but just one last note. Repeatedly, Kashyaswar Prabhu has been relating to me that he's getting questions about when the exams on the first canto will be held. So you know that this semester goes up till Nisringa Chaturdasi, which I believe is the middle of next month.
The 12th.
The 12th.
So that means before the 12th.
Yeah, so if we do it, we have to do it, say, in the days before the 12th. And I say if we do it because these last two chapters, the last two chapters of Canto 1, especially Chapter 18, are quite involved because it's the overture to the real beginning of the conversation between Shukadev and Parikshit, you know. And as I've told you, Canto 2 is, you know, if you think Canto 1 was hard, wait till you see Canto 2. So what I've done in the study guides of the last two chapters is, you know, it's a kind of a build-up. So particularly the study guide to Chapter 18, I think, I mean, it's quite involved, quite detailed. I think you'll find it very interesting. But at the same time, it's going to take some time to get through. And so, you know, and we're still, you know, this is our policy here. We've settled, as you can see, we've settled on a lot of regularity now in this class, but we still are, to some extent, playing it by ear, you know. So all I can tell you is that if we're able to manage to have exams by the end of the semester, it will be in the days just preceding Nisringa Chaturdasi. So until we've actually reached Chapter 19, I can't give you a more exact date than that, because especially Chapter 18 is going to take some time to get through. And maybe we won't get through it. That's also possible. I mean, at least I hope we can finish the first canto. And of course, that'll be quite anticlimactic to finish the first canto and have the exam next September. Of course, you'll have a lot of time to study then. So that's why I'm hoping we can have the exam by the end of this semester, but I can't really promise it. So let's hope this Krishna makes it possible. So thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.